Great to have you along here on WPR News. Larry Mueller here, and we're turning our attention to Jane Fulton Ault. It's a fabulous book. And she was never a gardener, but when her husband died, he left behind an extensive newly planted native garden, and then she became one, a gardener. And we're talking with her about how she feels it was the greatest gift he could have given her. Again, her name, Jane Fulton Ault. She's a celebrated photographer. Her latest book, which, by the way, was selected by Photo London as their book of the month, is titled Still Life, A Photographer's Journey Through Grief and Gardening. Has gardening helped you through a loss? Does photography help you see nature differently? Love to hear from you. Give us a call. The number is 800-642-1234. You could email us to talk@WPR.org. Jane Fulton Ault joins us by phone. Jane, thank you so much for taking time to be with us today.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's an honor to be here.
This book is visually stunning. I guess there's no other way to put it. And it's hard to get across on radio how visually stunning it is. But maybe to begin with, let's talk about the garden you photograph in the book and how that garden began.
Well, I think it began probably about 10 years ago. My husband started reading Doug Ptolemy's book, Bringing Nature Home. And I think he decided that our garden, our lawn was just, it was a dead zone. And he decided that he was going to start putting in a native garden, unbeknownst to me. I mean, he just kind of went ahead, and I think he had figured that it would be easier to ask for forgiveness than permission. And he actually started on the public parkways around our house. We live in Evanston, Illinois, and we're on a corner lot, so we've got a lot of parkway around us. And I didn't really understand what he was doing. Especially since the first plot that he worked on was, by the alley, and you couldn't see it from our house. But he had a vision. He had a vision. And the thing, we were having a wedding a year later, and he was having all of this organic mulch dumped on our lawn. And I was kind of horrified at what the condition of our garden was going to be at the time of the wedding. A home wedding, but over time, I started to understand what his vision was, which was really to not only change our garden, but also our neighbors. You know, I think he was hoping that up and down the block, more and more people would start to realize the importance and the urgency for planting natives.
And you really weren't involved in the actual garden development yourself, really, were you?
I wasn't, in fact, I mean, basically I could weed, but it was his project. It was his garden. And I even, there were times where I wanted to cut flowers to photograph them, and he was very uncertain about that. He didn't really want me to cut too many because he wanted to leave them for the bees and the birds.
And then he passed away.
He did. He passed away unexpectedly. About a month after my youngest daughter got married at home, which was an incredible celebration in the garden. And, it was a shock. And my kids had thought, he spent a lot of time at the Lurie Garden in downtown Chicago because that was all native. And he used that garden to learn more about what to put into our garden. And the Lurie Garden, when they found out that he had passed away, the director had said to my daughter, tell your mother that we'll help her with her garden. And that was about the kindest thing anybody could have said to me, because I'm thinking, I didn't know what was going to happen to this garden. It was kind of terrified about it, about the responsibility. But I did, she came over with Roy Diblick from Wisconsin. He has the Northwind nurseries, or he used to, and they helped plant some things, and then he had an intern, and the intern helped me, really gave me permission to just garden, just learn from the plants, and that I didn't have to do it all, didn't have to do it all the time. You know, I could just do little sections. So it was really, I had wonderful mentors.
It sure sounds like it. And how did the book come to be?
Well, what I realized, this is my third book, and I'm a social worker by training, and then I started doing photography. As my kids got older, I was taking classes, and we were traveling, and I took a class to learn more about my camera, and I had a particularly wonderful teacher, Dick Olderman, who taught me, you know, what it means just to ask the questions, you know, what does it mean to be alive and what's dying all about? And I don't know, I that was a hook for me. And, yeah, I mean, I forgot where I was going to go with that. but.
And so you decided, is this kind of an homage to your,
Your husband, who's passed away? It is. It's my love letter, not only to him, but to life. Because, I've used the camera to help me to understand my life better. It was never about the photography. It was always about trying to understand my life better. And my other two books were about, all three books are about profound loss. And I've realized that shortly after Howard died, I called my publisher and I said, I think I have another book in me. And it's taken 6 years, mm-hmm. but the book has provided me a way to work with the deep grief that I had. I mean, it really, it's a process. The whole thing was a process, and it took so many people to pull this book together to be what it is today. I mean, there were many hands involved in it. And I think beauty is something that really soothes the soul. And certainly in the garden, I mean, I've just learned so much about what it means to be alive just by being a novice gardener. It's just really something to behold, to see these plants, you know, come into being and then retreat and, you know, die or, you know, go into remission or whatever you mm-hmm. call it. I don't know. Yeah.
Well, the book is just, as I said at the start, the book is so visually stunning. And it really is hard to get it across on radio. Maybe you could describe the style of your photographs.
Well, the first section is actually, I took those pictures before my husband passed away. I had received some incredible peonies for Mother's Day from my children, and I was in such awe of them that I started to photograph them in the kitchen, by the kitchen window against a black background. And those are the still lives that are at the beginning of the book. The second section, there's a, they are very abstract images of the leaves of the tulips that were in the garden. And then the third section is actually the native garden that, you know, I've been working on. And, you know, I basically, you know, I'll be gardening, and then if I see something really, the light coming across the plant a certain way, and it's so beautiful, I just have to go and photograph it. And it's really interesting to me that none of the photographs in the book right now exist anymore. I mean, none of those images are there because everything is so transient and ephemeral in the garden, which is part of its beauty.
I was thinking about the photographs. Some of the photos look like traditional still life paintings, I think. How does that, maybe why that style, and how does it reflect the garden and what you wanted to say about it?
Well, it's more about You know, first of all, I've loved the Dutch, you know, how the Dutch would do their still lives and Caravaggio, and that always attracted me. So that's part of why these still lives exist. But I feel like the title of the book is about my being still alive.
Mm-hmm.
That I'm still going full, you know, I'm full ahead. And part of that is the garden has helped me to heal. It's helped me to understand that I'm just a small part of a much bigger ecosystem. And I never had that understanding before. And I think it's through the garden that I can feel Howard's presence, because I'm tending to these plants that he put in. And I also feel like there, you know, there's this love that just doesn't, it, you know, it exists, it's timeless. And I feel it in the garden.
Actually, along with the photos, you have some essays, and we'll, I want to address those as it relates to the photos in the book. But first, a quick break. I'm Larry Mueller, and my guest today is Jane Fulton Ault, and she is the author of Still Life, A Photographer's Journey Through Grief and Gardening. I'm Larry Mueller for Garden Talk on WPR News. Talking with Jane Fulton Ault, author of Still Life, A Photographer's Journey Through Grief and Gardening. Maybe gardening has helped you through a loss. Maybe photography has. Give us a call with your own thoughts at 800-642-1234, or you could email us to talk at WPR.org. I liked what you said earlier, Jane, about light. And as I mentioned, there are some essays in the back written by some folks, one W.M. Hunt, who mentions, think of the title Still Life as Still Life to Live.
Yeah, it's true. It's totally that's what this book is about.
Yeah. The photos themselves are, you used a black background, so it almost appears like they're at night. But the darkness, as he points out, gives the work intention. It helps us see. I bet you liked that comment.
I did. And I feel that seems to be how my work has been going over the years, and probably influenced by my mentor, Dick Olderman.
Yeah.
I suspect, yeah.
And I mentioned that some of the photos look like traditional still life paintings. Others, you know, Georgia O'Keeffe is a Wisconsin native.
Oh.
And some of the other photos kind of capture maybe the later work of Georgia O'Keeffe. Did you see that, or was that a deliberate thing?
No. I don't. When I'm photographing, I'm just kind of responding. It's very intuitive. There was nothing intentional other than seeing something that was incredibly beautiful and trying to capture it.
It's wonderful, and I like the way that you show, and understand that you appreciate the variations of foliage as well. Did that surprise you when you started looking at the garden as a subject for photographs?
You know, not really, because it was around me, and I'm always taking photographs. I mean, I feel like that's my daily practice, is if, you know, I see something that pulls me in, I'll pull out my camera and take a picture. You know, when I was taking these photographs, at least the ones of the tulips, I had no intention of doing anything with them other than sharing them online. You know, I have this Instagram account, and I'm always trying to put you know, interesting things. Actually, it's more of a diary for me. but it's a diary in that it's been going on for 10 years, and I just try to find something beautiful to photograph every day.
Yeah. And by the way, we have one of your photos from the book on our show notes on today's program. So for those listening, if you go to talk@WPR.org/Larry, or just WPR.org/Larry, and go to today's date, you'll see an example of Jane's work, which is, as I said, really stunning. You sprinkled a few sentences here and there amongst the photographs. Did you select these words, or how'd you decide where to put them?
Well, I had help with the designer from MW Editions. I remember my sister-in-law, who helped me with the book, had told me at the beginning, early on, she said, you know, you really need to write an introduction for this book. And I thought, oh, no. You know, as a photographer, it's so hard to write. But over time, those words just kind of came up. And then, like, last year, I kept thinking I wanted to change the ending. And I just couldn't. I mean, I spent like 6 months thinking about it, trying to rewrite it, and because I'm sort of in a different place now. But I like the idea that the ending is kind of open-ended. Like, nobody really knows what happens after somebody passes. But I'll tell you something. I spend half my time in New Orleans, and I have these citrus trees that Howard planted, and they're lemon trees. And every morning I have lemon water from the lemon trees, and I feel like he's still supporting me. Yeah. You know, so it's never really over.
Never really over. Those three essays in the back, and one of them is by somebody that we've had on Garden Talk before, Doug Tallamy. A name that our listeners are pretty familiar with. Why these three people?
Well, Howard did the Native Garden because of Bringing Nature Home, Doug Tallamy's first book on Native gardening. And anytime anybody walked by who was interested in what Howard was doing, he would hand them the book. And so my dream was to have, you know, Doug Tallamy write an essay for the book, which is a dream come true. It's kind of amazing that he was able to do it. And the book on transformation of grief with James Barrett's. After Howard passed away, someone had suggested that I take a course called Awakening Joy, and it was online, and I did it with James Barrett's, and he's Buddhist. And I did it for 6 months, and then it was during COVID, and then I decided to take it again 2 years later, and learned that he was certifying people to be teachers. So now I'm teaching it. And kind of it just reinforces the practice of how do you incline your mind? You know, you incline it to enjoy, you know, to pick up, not to miss those moments of joy. And I think there is so much joy in the garden. I mean, it's such a meditative act to be, you know, with the plants and noticing them. And, you know, you love them and they love you back more.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And Doug wrote about the need to coexist with nature in his letter. And you know, we have scattered parks and preserves. He feels are too small or isolated and too few to sustain the species that support us. And then he makes the case for what Howard did by turning his lawn into a native prairie, I guess you could say, and then makes the case we all could do better in that way. We could all work on our lawns landscapes that we do have and turn them into places that help waterways. We were talking about that earlier in the show with our previous guest. We need to be more like Howard is what I think how he ended it.
Yeah. Well, I think more like just paying attention to our environment and what sustains us and what promotes, you know, the pollination and everything else. I mean, we need it. We all need it. And it doesn't matter if you're in an apartment building with a terrace. I mean, you can still put those native plants out on the terrace.
Yeah.
I think if we all did more, I mean, I think, you know, we're kind of at a critical time. And I think it behooves all of us to do whatever we can to plant natives and to get rid of the grass and to put in things that are going to, you know, sustain biodiversity.
Patricia in Milwaukee, we're starting to run out of time, but Patricia, have you got a comment for us?
Yes. First of all, condolences on Howard. And I know he's still with you because my cousin in Pawnee, Illinois, has her husband's garden, and I have my dad's garden in Milwaukee, and it brings great comfort. And Larry, just to let you know, I'm hoping to see you in the future because I am moving to Verona to be closer to my cousin.
Oh.
And happiness on your retirement.
Thank you, Patricia. So she has similar experiences to what you have when it comes to gardening.
Yeah, Patricia, I got the goosebumps when you were talking, so thank you so much.
Obviously, this is something that you would advise other people to maybe consider as they work their way through grief and maybe just the trials of the day.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I think that the essay on grieving was so interesting to me because I learned that there's a book that James mentions called The Wild Edge of Sorrow by Francis Weller. And he talks about how important it is for us to grieve in community. And I found that not only that the garden is kind of like a community because we're on the Northwestern University campus and people go by all the time and I'm constantly pulling out plants and giving them to people because I have to thin. You know, and actually with these book signings that I've been doing, I've been giving out seeds from the garden that I collected last fall, which, you know, there's so many ways that we can support each other and build community. And I think that's a really important thing to do, you know, at this time in our lives.
Well, Jane, I want to thank you so much for being with us today and also for your book. It is visually stunning, and the essays in the back really help reinforce in many ways what you were trying to accomplish. So thank you so much for the book. I hope you sell a lot of them. Thank you.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on your show. I really appreciate it, Larry.
Jane Fulton Ault is the author, and the title of the book is Still Life, A Photographer's Journey Through Grief and Gardening. It's great to have her with us. And, of course, great to have you listening in. This and all of our shows are a team effort. We've got Clara Neipert, Joel Patnod, technical directors Lee Rayburn and Jeff Robbins. Our executive producer is Jill Nadeau. I'm Larry Mueller, and if you're in the Green Bay area, I hope to see you next Tuesday at the Widener Center. In the meantime, stay with us. Lots more in store here on WPR News.